Your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now. But something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Well, welcome back, Driven Women. Today, the topic is overwhelm, and more importantly, freedom from overwhelm. Doesn't that sound good? As soon as I started thinking about this topic, I knew I had to invite Kate Moryasef, my friend and fellow coach from Manchester, England. Kate discovered a technique about 10 years ago when she was dealing with a lot of overwhelm in her own life. The technique I'm referring to is emotional freedom technique. It's like acupuncture combined with cognitive behavioral therapy. Only it's not therapy and there are no needles. And let me tell you, EFT is very effective for dealing with overwhelm, limiting beliefs, and, well, I'm going to let Kate tell you more. But before we go there, I'd like to share this week's podcast praise from Jules M98, who reports that she is a 22-year-old woman with ADHD. Here's what she says about the podcast. This podcast is no BS. Having ADHD myself, I find myself searching for resources nonstop. Sometimes I even get overwhelmed and don't know where to start, so I find myself continuing to come back to Diane's podcast because she keeps them short, informational, and not boring. This is in all caps. She gets the message across, is right to the point for the ADHD overwhelmed brain. It always helps because she's been in mental health for a long time and she's an expert at this, especially because she has ADHD herself. Thank you so much. Keep the podcast coming. You inspire me. Well, Jules, thanks for caring enough to send in your review. I hope to get more of the same so that I can read them out loud as well. Now, again, today we are talking all about overwhelm, freedom from overwhelm, emotional freedom technique, and you simply have to try it. You will be amazed at how you're going to feel. So without further delay, let me introduce you to my friend, Kate Moryasef. Well, I have been very excited waiting for this conversation because today I am joined by my new friend, Kate Moryasef, who is all the way across the pond in Manchester, UK, although when she says it, it sounds much cooler. And the reason why I've invited Kate to join me on The Driven Woman is because she is a well-being and emotional freedom coach. And we're all in need of something like that just about now, I think. So welcome to Kate and tell us a little bit more about who you help and how you help.
Hi, Diane. Thank you for having me. So I help, I help women who are feeling overwhelmed and they've just got a lot going on in their heads. And I think sometimes we just need someone or somewhere to go to maybe just kind of decipher what's going on, what's overwhelming us, what is making us feel stressed, where we want to go in life, maybe just kind of like breaking it down a little bit so it doesn't feel so overwhelming. So that is what I do. I try and keep women happier and healthier and more confident, building up their self-esteem, breaking down old beliefs, old stories, anything that is keeping them stuck or preventing them from living the life that they should be living.
We definitely have a lot in common. And I forgot to mention, you are also a podcaster. So tell us about your podcast because I think there's going to be many women who listen to The Driven Woman who are going to start listening to you too.
Yeah. So my podcast is called The Ambitious Mum. So M-U-M, not M-O-M. And yeah, it's funny because it's kind of, you know, similar names, but I speak to lots of different women who work in the wellbeing industry, who are coaches, who are running businesses, who have got lots of wisdom and lots of advice because they never used to be, you know, in that sort of successful place. And they were just normal women juggling motherhood, I guess, trying to fulfill their passions and, you know, purpose and all the things that we're all trying to do. But they may be just a few steps ahead of other people. So I speak to them. They bring amazing insights. I learn loads. And I know my listeners do too. So, and I know that you're going to be a guest of mine as well soon. So that's
so. One of the reasons why I wanted to connect, Kate, is that I know that you work with your clients in some very specific ways. We're going to talk about a couple of them today, including your focus on forgiveness, which I think is really, really important and something that isn't often talked about, at least not nearly as often as it should be. And emotional freedom. And emotional freedom can mean many things to many people, but I know that how you use it is emotional freedom technique or EFT. Yeah. It's also called tapping, and it's something that I am pretty familiar with, but by no means a specialist in. Why do you use EFT, and what do you think it has to offer overwhelmed women with busy brains?
Oh, I love EFT. I couldn't live without it now that I use it with all my clients. I use it on myself. And I came across it about 10 years ago when I was going through something quite tough in my personal life. And I went to see a therapist and I thought we were just going to have like a talking therapy. Within 5-10 minutes, she got me tapping. I didn't know what was going on. She had me tapping all over my body. And I walked out of that room feeling lighter. I felt like I had this release I'd never had before. I felt like the reason why I'd gone in there, which was a big thing, it didn't affect me. It wasn't playing on my mind as much. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't kind of taking control of my thoughts. And I was really kind of like taken away by how effective it was. So that was that. I never came across
in a single session, like your very first session.
One session.
You didn't even need to go back?
I felt like I needed somewhere to release, and it came up. I felt it in my body. I felt it rising. Mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting to cry. The tears came straight away. It was the permission to talk about something, to accept something, to feel validated, which is what EFT is all about.
Mm.
And I left that session, you know, feeling like there was a shift in perspective. Felt like I could accept the situation. I didn't need to ruminate on it the whole time. So I left, and that was that. You know, this is way before I became a coach. Then it found me again. I trained as a health and well-being coach, seeing clients. Felt like this really big missing within my coaching practice. Now, there's a lot of coaches that don't need to use it. But for me, the way I like to work with people is quite intuitively and sort of see how things go. And I ended up training and did it's three levels I've gone up to, you know, the third level.
Of the certification in emotional freedom.
Yeah. And then now I use it with my clients, and it just helps me get to the point where I need to get to. There's this level of clarity, there's pings, and I kind of see it. They say one thing and I go, right, that is the thing that's holding them back. Let's focus on that. We'll work on that. So very, you know, it can be a very effective tool. So I use it for myself most days. You know, I have an energetic nervous system, to say the least. And I find it's an amazing tool for 5-10 minutes of breathing exercises, tapping, just to kind of settle the brain before, you know, I start a task or I get up in the morning. It helps me if I've got insomnia at night. It helps my anxiety. I tap and walk. I tap in the shower. I've got tapping points if I'm in the car. My kids are driving me mad. I tap on my kids.
This is really a big part of your life. Now, I think it's too bad this isn't a video podcast, because I'm going to ask you a little bit more about the specifics of EFT, emotional freedom technique. But I think 10 years ago, EFT, emotional freedom technique, was not well known at all. So hats off to your therapist for being an early adopter and for introducing you to something that you didn't expect and you didn't sign up for. but it really moved the needle for you right away. It's one of the reasons why I'm not a therapist anymore, frankly, is because people in pain want relief. They don't want it to take weeks, months, years. Therapy can be a very slow process. And most of the time, people wait far too long before they come. And by that time, they're pretty desperate for some kind of relief and transformation. And therapy oftentimes doesn't bring people back because they don't necessarily feel better quickly. So, you know, I think your therapist is very forward thinking. But what's impressive is you are continuing to use it years later and are finding so many applications for it. I'm wondering if I should ask you first to describe the technique. Let's first do this. Women with busy brains who feel overwhelmed, who have a lot going on in their minds, how would you introduce them to EFT first? What would be like the first point of entry into a practice in their life? Would you teach them how to use it as like first aid? Like, okay, you're feeling this way, now do this. Or would you try to get them to adopt it as a preventative practice, like part of their morning routine?
So what's funny is that since my diagnosis with ADHD, I've been speaking to other women and coaching other women with ADHD. So this kind of niche that I work with of overwhelmed women with busy brains is kind of like AKA, you may have undiagnosed ADHD. Right. Or you could just be one of those people that is you can just have that predisposal to just feeling overwhelmed and you know, you don't have to have ADHD to be overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. So I felt that it was very effective for me because I have a very busy head and I went for Reiki and I went for massage and I couldn't relax. The only thing that relaxes me is EFT or reflexology. So, and funny enough, both of them work with meridian points. So
interesting.
We've got meridian points in our feet, reflexology, and we've got meridian points on our face and our hands and our top, sort of like our torso. And that's what we work with. They are identified acupressure points from, you know, Eastern medicine thousands of years ago. And they work. And if I have people that come in who are cynics and they'll be tapping and looking like really weird and thinking that, you know, this is like the strange.
Like this feels weird. I must not be doing it right. And you're like, no, it's just weird. Keep going.
Yeah, completely. So then at the end of the session, they look way more relaxed. They're more spaced out. Mm-hmm. So tired. I'm like, this is your body. You know, it's an energy. We are releasing energy. It's stored negative energy and it's trauma. And I say trauma with a capital T and a small T, that we compress. We hold onto things from childhood. And this is where I work with. It's layer after layer after layer. We're unpeeling. And this is where the tapping really works because it's a physical energy shift. And also, you know, as you'll know, as a psychotherapist, that we're talking, we're honing in on things. So it's a combination. And after the session, they will have reflection, they'll have perspective shifts, they'll have clarity, they'll have memories that they've not thought about for a very long time. We're using sort of the subconscious mind a little bit more, and it's all very simplistic. It's not overanalyzing at all. It's the opposite of overanalyzing. It's the opposite of rehashing stories. We want to release these stories out into the ether and we don't want them, you know, to come back because this is what holds us back in our day-to-day life, our old beliefs, limiting beliefs, things that we've been told, you know, whether it's someone else or we've told ourselves for years upon years that are just buried beneath us. And very often people come to me and say, I've got pain in my neck and I've had it for years. Migraines, you know, physical pain that the tapping has released because that is old trauma sitting within their bodies. So you can tell I'm very passionate about it because I see it works and I see how it helps. And I'm not a trained therapist, you know. And I think what you said about the lady that I saw 10 years ago, she is and continues to be an amazing woman. And I still speak to her and see her. And I'm actually working now with a psychiatrist. He is a psychiatrist of eating disorders. And he's very eminent in his field, and he's so open-minded that he's setting up a binge eating help center. And he's brought me in because he believes that ongoing therapy continuously hasn't been helping certain people. And I've been helping, you know,
regular insight-oriented talk therapy.
Yeah.
He says it's not necessarily helpful to people with disordered eating and binge eating and so forth on an ongoing basis. I agree with that.
He's desperate to bring in different modalities. You know, obviously there's people who are very sick and they really do need, you know, psychiatric help, and they need to speak to, you know, psychologists. But someone that just needs help getting past these hurdles, this is where EFT really works. And the fact that he's a psychiatrist and has brought in EFT as part of his practice just shows.
That's impressive. It's impressive that he's open-minded and that he recognizes, well, because most in the US here, most psychiatrists push meds. They are not holistic, although this is changing. In fact, where I used to live in Los Angeles, I was in an office with a very progressive psychiatrist who worked in a very holistic way, including nutrition and exercise. That was part of his overall approach. But, you know, we've been referring to emotional freedom technique, EFT, and tapping. And I'm going to guess that a lot of people listening aren't familiar with any of those things. But because you and I are, we're talking about it like everybody understands, which, of course, they don't. Sorry, folks. So I'm going to pull back a little bit and say, let's just use the word tapping, because I think that's the one that most people know. The proprietary name for the people who certify in this technique probably refer to it as emotional freedom technique or EFT. But most people who have heard of it have heard of it as tapping, because that's actually what we're doing. So because they can't see us, can you explain, you know, briefly and simply what you're actually doing when you're tapping? And again, what's one of the things that's really cool about this technique for any kind of emotional overwhelm, emotional first aid, or even to just settle your mind before you start your day, much as a journaling, prayer, or meditation session might do. It's so useful. But once you learn it, you don't have to go to a practitioner. It's a skill that you incorporate into your repertoire and you do for yourself. I've heard you can even do it with your pets. So walk us through briefly what you're actually doing when you perform this tapping technique on yourself for overwhelm.
Okay, so the technique is literally tapping on different pressure points, meridian points around the face. So we start on the inside of the eyebrow,
kind of tapping with your fingertip.
Tapping, you can use two hands, you can go on both sides, or you can just do one hand. And then you go to the next point, which is the outside of your eyebrow, just on the side. And then you're going to go underneath your eye. So it's kind of like on the cheekbone, just the top of the cheekbone. Then you're going to go under your nose. So it's just on top of your lip. Then in the middle of your chin.
So you can, where the crease is.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then you go on your collarbone. So it's just underneath your collarbone. And then it's on the side of your back, just where your bra strap would lie. Some people tap on the head as well, which is fine. And then you can also tap on the side of your hand.
On the side of your hands, yes.
Fingers as well. I'm not going to complicate it. It's the easiest way to remember is just to go round the side of the face, on under the nose, on the chin, collarbone. What I say to people is, if you don't know what to say, because sometimes you do need to go to a practitioner, especially if you go for quite specific things. People go for phobias, they go for fear of public speaking. They're very specific things that EFT is very good at. But if you just want to go and you just want to have, you know, just feel calm, you don't want to feel overwhelmed, you want to just start the day without kind of like the anxiety, you know, on your chest, is just some nice deep breathing through your nose, out through your nose while you're tapping. So you can do like three rounds, you know, 3 minutes, that's all it is, of deep breathing through the nose, hold it, breathe out through the nose. And the combination between the breathing exercises and the tapping I don't know anyone that wouldn't feel calmer from that, because it's a physiological thing. You are tapping on, you know, these, you know, acupressure points, and the breathing, as you know, that really helps, you know, calm and regulate everything. That sort of calms the fight or flight reaction
response.
So it's a great technique if you are about to, you know, scared of flying, you have continual anxiety. If you want to give it to your kids, I do it with my kids. If my kids are getting angry, they're having a tantrum, we'll go in the other room, we'll do 3 minutes of just breathing and tapping. My older kids won't do it anymore, sadly, but my little ones.
Oh, because they think they're too cool for school. But what's so fascinating about tapping, Kate, is that I've had acupuncture in the past. I happen to have a chronic pain condition from a car accident. So I had regular acupuncture for several years. But after learning about tapping, what I learned is that the very same meridian points, energy meridian points, that may be used in acupuncture, to get the benefit from stimulating those points with tapping, you don't need a needle. You don't need an electric current. You don't need pressure. Just the light pressure of tapping 5 to 7 times on that location, those specific but easy to find locations around the face and the upper body, you can get the same benefit that you would otherwise have to go to a practitioner and have needles applied. And a lot of people are afraid of needles, but we all need skills for calming ourselves down. I'm realizing as this pandemic continues on and on that people are becoming more irritable. They're becoming more agitated. They're becoming more anxious. They're becoming more easily triggered. A lot of people are not sleeping well. And plenty of folks are getting into, you know, a little bit too much wine or a little bit too much cannabis or a little bit too much of anything that maybe takes the edge off, but is ultimately going to repay you with something that'll be harder to get rid of once we're able to resume our normal lifestyles. Tapping is readily accessible. The first time I did it, I thought, this feels weird. It looks weird. I don't want anyone to see me doing this, because I'm literally tapping with my fingertips at different places on my face and upper body. And it's like, what are you doing? But the moment I got over the self-consciousness, I thought, I do feel more relaxed. And of course, because I'm heavily into neuroscience, I thought, placebo effect. I'm just kidding myself. I'm believing it because I want to believe it. And I'm like, no, put on the mind of a skeptic. This isn't working. This isn't doing anything for me. This is a bunch of hogwash. It still helped. And I think it's definitely proven in science that there are energy meridians that run through the body. Ancient traditions have known this for thousands of years, long before we had medicine, even long before we had plant-based medicine. People have always had reasons to be anxious and overwhelmed. Our modern life, there's many more reasons, but people have always needed ways to calm themselves. Have you ever found someone that it just doesn't work for? And do they need to, quote unquote, believe it will work in order for it to? Because I'm sure you find people that are skeptics like I was.
Oh, yeah, all the time. All the time. I mean, normally someone that's going to come to me is going to be a bit open-minded. You know, that's just the nature of someone sort of reaching out. And I always say, you know, if it's a family member that's putting me in touch with that person, they have to want to come. They have to, you know, there has to be some form of like acceptance that they're here to want to change. But if they've made that decision and they're still skeptical, we first of all, I have a chat with them beforehand. I show them what's going to happen. I'm going to tell them that they're going to feel weird. So, you know, we get past
silly.
The weird stuff. And then even if they walk out of that first session and whatever problem they've come with, whatever issue, doesn't feel that different, something will have shifted. And I can almost say with a 95%, you know, 100% success rate, that the feedback I get is I kind of, you know, and they send me an email, we speak on the phone, they say, yeah, but I did feel a bit kind of like tired and I felt like, you know, a bit zonked out. But the next morning I woke up, I felt like it didn't affect me as much, or I felt the need to pick up the phone and have that conversation that I'd been putting off. So in one way, shape or form, it just does something to our psyche, to the way that our energy is towards that person, if it is a person or a circumstance, whether it's, you know, so I saw someone the other day and she was an ADHD lady and she was putting off the work and she'd been putting it off and she was building it up and she couldn't sleep. She had anxiety about handing in this piece of work. She finished the session with me and she said, you know, I'm going to go and eat and then I'm going to go watch a bit of TV. I was like, no, she's not going to go and do the work. And she told me that she went to eat and she did watch the TV, but something told her to put the TV, you know, turn the TV off. And she said that she did the work and she believes that she wouldn't have really done that work if we hadn't had that session.
Wow.
So, and I see it in kind of like a woo-woo way as well, that I tell people that the energy also kind of comes out across to other people. So even though we're doing the tapping on ourselves, there's a thing called surrogate tapping. So we can be tapping and thinking about someone else and it can make that other person have a bit of a cognitive shift as well. So say...
I got to admit, that sounds a little woo-woo for me.
Yeah, it works. It's, you know, and my teacher, funny enough, she says to me, you just have to accept that certain things just work and you just don't know why or how, but for that reason, it works. But what I'd like to say to make it much more practical for your listeners is if you are, say, sitting in an office or you're sat around a table and you're feeling anxious, you're in a social situation and you don't want to start tapping on your face in front of people because that is, you know, it's strange. You can tap on the side of your hand here. And it's literally, I'm taking my left hand and I'm tapping on the side by my, you know, my little finger. And you can do that under a table.
I'm just thinking at the holiday gathering, if anyone's actually having any this year and somebody is getting you a little aggravated, you could just be quietly tapping on yourself under the table and nobody would even know.
Totally. If you sat in a traffic jam and it's driving you nuts, you just sit and you just tap on the side of your hand, take some deep breaths, and it really does help calm that nervous system down. So you can do it as discreetly and you can do it as simply as you want, or you can take it to the next level and you can come to a practitioner or a coach like me. And we really kind of like get into the nitty gritty of what's holding you back. And typically it is going to be something from childhood and we try and shift that. We try and reframe it. We bring acceptance and validation. And you mentioned the forgiveness, and that is something that I definitely bring into my practice, because we hold onto so much resentment and we hold on and victimhood, and we live in a place that is not in the present. So I like to bring in the forgiveness, whether it's self-forgiveness or it's more self-compassion, compassion to others, being able to reframe, look at a perspective differently. And that also brings a lot of inner peace. So what you said right at the beginning of what does that even entail? I want to be able to bring to my clients more inner peace. I want them to be able to just feel a bit lighter about their life and their circumstances. I can't change them. You know, I can't make them do anything, but I can help them feel more accepting about the situation that they're currently in.
I think that is absolutely necessary, because women that are ambitious and forward thinking and, you know, going after their goals, I've just noticed that a lot of them struggle with guilt, either because they think they were obnoxious in their single-minded pursuit of their goals, they were insensitive to other people, they didn't take the time to, you know, reward other people that helped them get to where they wanted to go. Or oftentimes it's more personal. They feel they've neglected their friends and family because they were more interested in working on their business than getting together for brunch. And, you know, I definitely think most high ability women with ADHD struggle with workaholism. We have a hard time ending the day and letting things go. Oftentimes, I would say we have three problems: starting, stopping, and switching gears.
Yeah.
And the switching gears problem is like calling an end to the workday and then transitioning into family time or friendship time or just frankly non-work time. And a lot of us are very poor at that. We just keep going and going and going. So a lot of the overwhelm can be self-induced, which then brings guilt because we did it to ourselves. And you're right, the word forgiveness has to include self-compassion, because a lot of times the ones we need to forgive the most is us.
Oh my goodness. The pressure that I put myself under doesn't come from anyone else. It's me. And then that you're absolutely right. There's a lot of guilt there as well, and who I've been neglecting and who I haven't been focusing on and who I've forgotten to call yet again. You know, 3 or 4 days, I've still not called them, still not text them back, because of the, you know, the hyper-focus of one. When we do get started, it's very hard to then switch off. So yeah, there's a lot of burden.
Yes.
We carry a lot. There's a lot of stuff, and I feel it. You know, I always say to my clients, what do you feel in your body? And then we start tapping on that, because it's sometimes they don't know what it is. So we'll start and they say, I've got tension in my shoulder. I've got a palpitating chest. What does that look like? And then very quickly they'll give me an analogy. They say it's like a big black rock sitting on my chest, or I feel like I've got someone sitting on my shoulder. So we start tapping on that. And then I say, well, what does that remind you of? Where's that come from? You know, where do you think that, you know, this feeling is coming from? And we start unpicking. And then they start recognizing where the guilt's coming from, where the doubt's coming from, you know, where all the resentment that they've been carrying for such a long time is coming from. So it gives them an opportunity to get to know themselves and also get to know their emotions, so they can heal, because you can't heal if you don't understand your emotions.
So I think this is a really key distinction, Kate, is so the tapping, as I described it, just the pure tapping, you can just do that on yourself as kind of a calming, centering, grounding technique. But tapping for release of trauma, of resentment, those things, that needs to be a guided process, because they're not just tapping on themselves while you sit there and watch. You are guiding them through a process, an interactive process of asking questions and gaining answers that are peeling back in a way like a therapist would, but with the addition of tapping, where you are going through layer by layer by layer of something that they have psychologically and energetically trapped, which I absolutely do believe that a lot of the physical pain we humans experience is emotional in origin. And there's no amount of medication or talk therapy that can release those things, because, you know, I always kind of laugh when I hear people use the term mind-body connection. There's no mind-body connection. There's the mind-body interface. It's all one. Mind is not separate from body, right? They are all one. So what the mind experiences, the body experiences, and what the body experiences, the mind experiences. So it makes so much sense that when there is physical or emotional trauma, that it gets trapped in the body, and the way to release it is a combination of processing and a physical stimulation to release.
I often use the analogy to people who they want to understand about the meridian point is kind of like congestion points in a highway. And you have like traffic snarling up in different areas that are kind of like those known, you know, junctions. And we need to physically tap on those meridian points to release that negative energy. And I'll see my clients bursting into tears, you know, out of nowhere. And they'll be like so shocked that the tears have come. And I'm like, just let them come. It's a release. It's your body's release. They're your. So they think it's really, bad manners that they're yawning through a session. I'm like, no, the yawning is good. That's your body releasing. So it's recognizing how your body needs to release. And especially I said, drink loads of water afterwards, because they'll need to pee a lot. Because again, it's like after reflexology or a massage, the body needs to expel the toxins. So it's very interesting. The mind and the body are 100% connected, and you can't look after one without looking after the other. And which is what I think the tapping does beautifully.
That's such a good analogy about the traffic congestion. I'm hopelessly lost all the time, but I'm very dependent on the Waze app. And I love how people can enter if they say, oh, there's slow traffic ahead, or there's an accident ahead, or and all those little things appear on your Waze app. So, you know, okay, now I'm going to be slowed down here. Wouldn't it be great if our brain would point out where the congestion is in our minds, in our bodies, and we could just like tap on the app? Like, well, actually it is exactly. It's like when you have that traffic congestion on the app and they want to know, is it still there? And you can just touch the screen and it goes away. That's exactly like tapping on yourself. This is so fascinating. I'm absolutely sure there are many listeners who will want to know more about this technique, about you and about your work. So I'm going to make sure that we put all those links in the show notes to Kate's practice and her socials and also her podcast, The Ambitious Mum. And is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners before we say goodbye for now? Because there will be more conversations between you and I.
I really hope so. So no, I think, you know, I just want to be able to spread the message of EFT and tapping and how helpful it can be and how you can use it sort of very baseline, or you can really go in there and if you have experienced trauma and other therapies haven't quite worked, it's great to be able to explore. So yes, find me. I'm on Instagram. I'm really active, Coaching by Kate. You can find me on Facebook under the same name. My website is www.coachingbykate.me.uk. Because of the beauty of online work, I speak to people, work with people from all around the world now. So just because I'm in the UK doesn't mean to say that we can't work together if you're in the US. I've done that before. So yeah, just get in touch. And my passion is helping women who just don't know where to go next. And I love nothing more than seeing someone come to me and they, you know, a few sessions later we'll go away and say, wow, you know, I really feel like me again, or I feel like I've uncovered something that I didn't know was there. So that's kind of my passion. So yeah.
Well, we definitely have that in common. Helping women get unstuck and reach their full potential. So you are preaching to the choir here. Thank you so very much, Kate, for joining me, for joining us, and for bringing all this fascinating wisdom about emotional freedom.
Thank you.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying listening to the Driven Woman podcast and looking forward to each new episode every Tuesday. Are you ready to take our relationship to the next level? Visit my website at dianewingardcoaching.com. I have a weekly blog. There's a quiz you can take to find out what your ADHD signature strength is, and some other freebies like the 6 Steps to ADHD Mastery or the Driven Woman Roadmap Fast Track to Success. And if you're ready to get serious about going from spinning to winning and taking yourself from driven but distracted to focused, fired up, and flame retardant, you should definitely sign up for a free consultation. We'll spend 30 minutes talking about where you are, where you want to be, and whatever's getting in the way. I won't try to sell you if you're not right for coaching and I'm not the right one for you. But if you are, this might be the best way to make 2021 your best year ever. Want to hear from someone who's actually worked with me? Have a listen to my client, Rachel.
I didn't have
you helping me along the way to understand a lot of this stuff, the meds would have been a waste for me, a complete and total waste. I would have had a little bit more energy maybe, but still the habits, whatever. There's no magic pill. It's always going to be something I'm going to have to work on. And I am understanding that and being okay with that and just kind of working through that and thinking and being intentional and stopping myself and doing all of the things for the first time in my life. I'm going to tell you right now, the meds have allowed me to slow stuff down enough that I've never been this effective at anything cognitive ever in my life. But I've also never had it explained to me by somebody who understands what's going on in my head either.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.